Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, yay, Heather. So here's what I did. Let's see. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
So I thought, oh, I better, I'm used to doing all my Zoom meetings in at home, right? But I thought, oh, I better do it in the office. Because I have double screens and this and that. And now the audio doesn't work and I have no camera on my
Do you have your
screen.
cell phone?
Yeah, so I'm using audio on my cell phone.
You can what do you what kind of phone do you have?
An iPhone?
Do you know how to download an app?
Well, I'm using my phone right now, right? So how do I get the audio on the computer?
Let me
I guess I just
see.
assumed it would show that I would have audio on the but it's okay. I can just use my phone, right?
You can, but you can also download the app on your phone and then you can just log in twice. That way you can see the meeting on your computer and then use the camera on your phone to show your face.
Well, that's okay. I'm not too worried about that part.
Okay.
So I have it pulled up on my work computer, so I'll be able to just follow along right on that. And then just if and then I'll be able to hear from my work computer.
Yeah, so if you're already on the phone, I wouldn't have the audio on your computer as well. Otherwise, it'll start giving feedback.
Oh, I see. Oh, I might
Yeah.
have already I Okay.
So on your computer, do leave computer audio. Do you see that where it says by over where it would show mute and
Oh, yep, I got
video?
mute. It's
So if you do
like
the
the arrow.
arrow, do leave computer audio.
No, yeah, it is off because it
Oh,
didn't
okay.
recognize it. So
Okay,
yeah,
good.
so it I am on the phone call one. Yeah.
Okay. So then you're
So I
all set.
think I
You don't
should.
have to worry about any feedback then.
Okay, and I probably won't be talking much anyways, so it shouldn't be a big deal. Okay. So hopefully this all works. I thought I saw Larry join, but then it's like he left.
Yeah, I think so too. What was I gonna say? So I think, do you think I'll be okay if I leave after like called it order?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Once everybody's, I think, there, and then is there like, so say there's a problem like after that, how can I get a hold of you?
You can email me. I'll have my email up.
Okay,
Or you can
so I'll
call
just
my
email
desk
your.
phone. Yeah, or you can call my desk phone and I have it set up on my phone too. That would probably
Okay.
be the fastest way.
The fastest, that way I'm not leaving the thing. So tell
Yeah.
me what your desk phone is again.
It's 248. Hold on, let me just make sure because I never call myself.
Oh, I know what you mean.
248-5517.
Okay, so you're just one off from me because I'm 5518,
Oh yeah,
so
that's
that's
right. I
easy.
remember dialing that yesterday.
Yeah.
Or whenever
Okay,
that
so
was.
we'll just kind of wait and see.
And did you
Kind
already
of
hit
nervous.
broadcast?
I did.
Okay, so that means attendees can join into your meeting if any attendees wanted to come in.
Yes, and I had three people ask for the link, so I sent them
Okay.
that attendee list.
Got it. It looks like
So
someone
that,
just joined.
okay.
Do you see that? Do
Oh,
you have
yeah,
your,
okay.
okay. And you have your participant list open the entire time, right?
The panelist list.
Yeah, so it shows participants and then it's panelists on one side and then attendees on the other.
Yes, I have that open.
Okay. So then you can just toggle back and forth to see who is all in the meeting.
Now, can the panelists see that as well, the attendees? Because I know there was questions about that last time.
Yes, they should be able to.
Okay.
It's the attendees who can't see that.
Okay. Okay, yeah, and then Nancy's, I think, pretty well versed on Zoom stuff, so that should be easy for co-hosting. surprised there's not more on yet.
I don't remember. I think when I hosted last time, didn't I make you a co-host?
You did.
And that's when you didn't even have an account yet, right?
That's right. Yeah, I think when you entered my name in,
confused.
As part of the meeting attendees.
Yeah, so what I was reading and what I understand, you can't be a co-host unless you have an account set up. But if it worked last time, then that's kind of not... doesn't make sense if it worked last time. Do you know what I mean? Because that was the whole point of creating accounts for everyone else.
Well, I'll try co-hosting Nancy. Otherwise, I guess I'll just do Brian.
Okay, yeah, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's the same thing. Brian he wouldn't have an account either. So I'm just confused.
I know, I don't know.
Last time, yeah. I'll have to make a note of that.
Let's see. Should I practice like a share screen, even though I don't know if we need to? I don't think we need to.
You might, because council member Tosta had us requested us to show emotion on the spot last night.
I thought I did. I missed the meeting. So I have the agenda pulled up. So let me see if I hit the share screen button, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I can pick the airport committee screen 2 and then share, I'm guessing.
There you go.
And then how come I have to go back to my Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So how come I get like just a blank thing? Like I can't see it anymore. Let's see.
You can't see what you're sharing, you mean?
No, I can't see the Zoom people anymore.
Oh, that's because, usually when people have their videos up, you'll be seeing it on the side. But because we don't have anyone with any video up, you don't see anything. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. So if there were people with video on, there would be like a little window on the side showing everyone's faces and whatnot.
Oh, I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're done doing that. I just hit the little green ID thing at the top or stop share. I hit stop
share. Exactly.
Stop share. Okay. And then it goes back to
the regular screen,
the regular thing. Okay. Here's Chair Tosta.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I'm having just a few hiccups. I usually do my Zoom meetings at home, but since I had to host and stuff, I thought, I'll go into work. I have the double screens. It'll be great. But I found out there's no video or audio on my computer.
Well, that's a depressing decision at the last minute.
It is. I know. I'm like, I should have probably tested it sooner, but but that's okay. If I have my cell phone, which is working fine, and then there just won't be any video of myself, which is probably fine. My hair is getting kind of nasty.
I know. I'm debating turning mine on. I just realized I didn't download the agenda, so I better do that. Where is it?
Lori, I'm going to mute myself now, but just give me a holler if you need me.
Okay, thank you, Heather. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's a learning curve for everybody, isn't it?
Yes.
And you guys are all learning how to become experts in these meetings. So when I used to be a consultant, this is what I did. I ran meetings for people all over the country. And this is how we did it. Zoom. Mostly, we used to use GoToMeeting. We used WebEx. By the time I retired, I mean, Zoom wasn't a big deal. It's become obviously a big deal now. But
Zoom, well, the webinar, I guess, is a good feature for meetings rather than the Zoom meeting, and isn't quite as many controls, I guess.
Yeah, we used to actually have quite a few controls. We had, we would have, votes, side conversations. I mean, there were a lot of options in WebEx and GoToMeeting. I mean, we used to do. Anyway, it was a long time ago, and the technology keeps changing, and it's a good thing we have the technology now.
Yeah, and it hit pretty fast, and yeah, people are learning quick. So I'm going to put you as co-host, and I think the main reason is in case, like, the internet goes down or something.
Okay, and you also, I see that Sharon has entered as an attendee rather than a panelist.
Okay, and I think I'm able to switch her over. Yeah, because there was...
if you can move her.
I sent the wrong link the first time. So, okay, let me switch to Sharon.
Okay, and I can do it too. It looks like allow to talk or more. Yep, there she is.
Yeah, so yeah, feel free to do what you want.
I get such power here.
I know, great.
Right.
So I had three people ask me for the meeting link. Not to say that it didn't get forwarded, it looks like, to other people. But Dave Kaplan was one, JC Harris, and then
Ann Croker.
Yes, she was the other one. So
okay. And I see Ernest is on the phone.
Ernest is there, yep. And he has his hand, or he did, okay.
Sharon, are you there? You're able to hear us? I see you are there. It looks like you're on mute.
I'll unmute. Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Ah, there's Larry. Okay, so I may or may not, there I am, sort of long hair tossed up. Holding my hair back. We're all getting long hair, right?
Well, Cindy Kripe will cut it for you. She's been cutting Larry's hair.
Ironically, before this, I had decided I was going to let my hair grow out. And lo and behold, my hair is growing out. So,
yeah.
It's a little weird right now because I've got it pinned back on my head, but... And you know what? It's getting grayer. I don't understand it. And I don't dye my hair, but it's getting grayer.
Yeah. It looks good. I like it, actually.
Oh, thanks. It's a little weird. Zoom doesn't
do anything. In between, it's really strange. I know.
Zoom doesn't do anything for me. I mean, I have decided that this Zoom is not my friend. Oh, there's Jeff. And I see Ann and Ernest and JC on attendees. We'll get to you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you all for being here. We're waiting for Debbie, Javier, Jimmy, and I think that's it. Larry, you're on mute. There. Oh, no, you did it, and then you put it back on. There. Okay, Larry, talk.
Yep. Okay. Is Brian going to join us?
Yeah, I think Brian's planning to join us, too.
Okay.
We've been on several meetings this afternoon. There's Javier.
He's muted too.
It takes a bit. Everybody has to figure it out.
Yep.
So we did a Zoom council meeting last night that went for 4.5 hours. It wasn't fun.
Wow.
That's torture.
It was torture. It was torture.
Well, if you put your pajamas on before you got to the meeting, you could go straight to bed.
How did you know I had the bottoms on, Larry? Javier's doing the stand-up approach. This is much healthier.
Yes. Well, I have 6 hours of meetings or more every day, so I can't just be 6 hours sitting straight.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, okay, I could stand up and walk around, actually. I guess that's the other option. Okay, so we're waiting for Brian and Jimmy.
Debbie?
Hi, I'm here.
There's Debbie.
Hi, Deb.
Hi.
So do you all know how to put up your virtual backgrounds? Should you want to, be someplace other than being here?
Wow, look at you. Yeah.
You can, choose a part of the world. We could all pretend we've been flying and...
What if we're in a lifetime of no flying?
Oh, dear. Well, you could have taken the train there, Deb. Someplace,
not to Italy.
Someplace you could take a train to.
Not to Italy.
Yeah, I'll turn it off. Nikaya, welcome.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I am.
So Jimmy and Brian, and then we're good, huh?
Yeah, sorry, and I... forgot Nikaya, our newest member. I keep forgetting you're with us. Sorry about that.
New kid on the block.
We've only ever seen you in a meeting once, I think, right? That's been a slow start to the year. Okay, Nikaya, looks like she's...
I have a teenager who has no concept of
no Zoom,
but editing. Himself at times. So
you were cutting in and out there, Nikaya. I don't know if that was just for me or if others experienced it.
Can you hear me? Let's see. I just got a new ear. Can you hear me fine?
Sort of.
You know what? I got another.
It's still cutting out, though.
You're still cutting out. It's choppy. Okay, I'm going to give them, it's 4 minutes after six. I'm going to start this meeting, I think.
And how about now? Is this a little better?
It's a little better, but it's not consistent.
Okay. I'll mute myself.
We'll see how it goes as we go through this. So I am going to call the Burien Airport Committee to order at 6:04. And all members are present except for Mayor Mata and our ex officio member, Brian Wilson. So, but I expect they will join us. The first order of business is approve the draft minutes from our April 21st meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve.
I'll second it.
Okay. Was that Jeff who approved?
Yes.
And Larry who seconded? Any discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Raise your hand, or you can do it that way. Any opposed? All right, minutes approved. The second agenda item is, so I have been thinking about the situation we're in, where we have clean air, quiet skies, an environment that is what we all thought we wanted, we all think we want. I won't speak for you all, but it's been pleasant. And it's made me wonder what we can do to sustain this environment, if anything. If there are people that we can approach, such as port commissioners or others, and say, what if this is our baseline? How do we reset, return, re-engage, whatever the right action is post-COVID, in a way that tries to sustain what we have now? Is that possible? I'm an idealist, so this is a bit of wishful thinking. And then I came across, J.C. Harris had written a letter, and then I noticed between Sharon and Debbie and Sheila and Larry, a letter, it's not exactly the same topic, but a similar letter was submitted to the port. And so I thought it's worth talking about whether we as an airport committee want to make some recommendations. Hi there, Brian and Jimmy. Thanks for joining. So I'm talking about the letters, a letter that we might write. And my thought, I'll just share my thought, was could we draft something that would go to the port commissioners from the Burien City Council? So we as an airport committee would make this recommendation, electeds to electeds, to say, we are experiencing what we have been asking you to help us get to. How do we not move away from this? How do we sustain this? Are there ways that we reopen, re-engage, reset, that have the possibility of trying to maintain the quality of the environment that we have now? It may be wishful thinking, but I feel like if we don't make an effort to reach out and ask and be kind of intentional and conscious about the decisions we make, that we lose any opportunity. I'm not super optimistic that this will work, but I feel like it's something that is worth a try. And I wanted to throw that out. The two letters that were in the packet were examples of kind of similar thinking in a way. I don't think either of them are a model for what we would do. So I just wanted to open that for general discussion in the airport committee. So that was my logic in putting this on the agenda. So I'd like to hear from all of you. Any comments, thoughts? Are we spinning our wheels?
I suppose
it's too bad we don't have noise metrics and air sampling metrics that could measure the conditions now and then compare those with past, because boy, I'm telling you, the significance is due west of the airport where I live is so significant that I can't even believe it. I mean, in 35 years, I've never experienced anything like this.
So we do have metrics. I put an email out to some of you the other day just asking about metrics. And then I know JC shared with me some of the data that he has set up through SeaTac Noise. And you know, I can sort of open this up, I suppose, and have folks, allow folks to talk here. But he has, and I haven't looked at it in depth, but he has gathered metrics or is gathering metrics on operations, air quality, no. And this is sort of a longer conversation. Do we push to get air quality monitoring as soon as possible so we have the opportunity to know what the conditions are now that we think are the right conditions? You know, it's too bad, but I do believe the UW professors are poised to do that if, you know, there's some mechanism to get that in place. But there are some metrics. Does anyone object to my opening it up for the attendees to also have an opportunity to talk?
I don't object, but I do have a little bit of input on the air quality issue.
Okay. I just want any, would anyone prefer that I don't allow the attendees to talk? I mean, let me know if you.
Well, I would be interested to know who's attending.
So
because
I'll tell
we
you.
Can't see that. And okay. It's like taking a roll call or whatever.
You can see it, Deb. If you go to, well, I think you can. If you go to participants at the bottom of the screen, it will list the panelists, which is all of you, and then it lists the attendees. So you can see who's actually there. And there's a phone number who I don't know who that is. We'll have to ask who they are. So let me, I'm going to allow the phone number to speak. Can you identify who you are?
It's Sheila Brush. If you're
okay, 206. Great. Thanks, Sheila.
Yeah, I thought I recognized that number.
Okay. So we have Ann Croker, and I am just going to unmute all these folks. Ann Croker, Dave Kaplan, Ernest Thompson, and JC Harris. So you're all up there. So Debbie, you wanted to offer some perspective on some metrics that we have.
Yeah, there's a... The thing about the noise is you can gather all that noise monitoring data and figure out what our average is on the DNL scale from a formula that was developed by Cindy Christensen. I'm sure there's other formulas out there where you could calculate your yearly DNL. But the problem is that you can't use noise monitoring for anything. It doesn't drive any... policy decisions by the Port of Seattle. It's never used for Part 150 or any kind of noise mitigation. It's only there as somewhat of a validation tool. And anytime you have that noise monitoring, Nancy, just for your information about those touch and go military operations, those are thrown out because they only estimate from regularly scheduled flights. So military and some international, any unscheduled planes under 75,000 pounds, lots of things are exempted out of the monitoring. So anyway, and then on the air quality piece, if we had a baseline right now, it would be lower than what it is normally because the airport air toxics and criteria pollutants have an impact in at least a 5-mile radius around the airport. So what would be said later on is, well, you know, it was lack of cars on the road or yeah, the problem we always have in arguing this point is that they're going to say it's from anything else, lots of extra wood burning stoves, you know, local traffic, tire wear, dust and debris from a nearby construction. You know, it's not going to be as helpful, even though we're going to see a big reduction now compared to what we had in air quality impacts in the past.
All right, but Debbie, now, if we don't have any of those data, we can't even begin to have that conversation,
well,
regardless of whether they deny that it's due to air traffic.
There is an interesting thing that happened with the Purple Air monitors.
Explain what the Purple Air monitors are.
So they measure particulate 2.5 and PM10 particulate. And we've been averaging around 62, 65 in the areas that are affected by the predominant wind patterns around the airport. So 62 to 65 in PM2.5 is actually twice as high as the federal standard. So there are people working on this with the air quality agencies because the agencies say the purple air monitors are not really that precise, and they usually read out higher than what the actual reference method monitoring might be or high quality monitoring might be. But what happened was when the traffic went way down, the airport actually got busier. And there was about a week time, 1 week period, that we were taking one of the 13 airports around the country that were taking passengers from other places in the world and bringing them in as kind of an evacuation from hotspots. So we actually got busier. The airport got busier during that 1 week period, whereas traffic went way down on I-5. So a monitor that's in between the airport and I-5 went up with the PM2.5 during that period when traffic went down.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make is, and I realize we have multiple activities going on. We had a shutdown. Air traffic has changed. Some of it may have been more intense because of the reason you just said, Debbie. Some of it is a lot less. Some of it is the planes are flying even without passengers. So even if people aren't driving to the airport for a variety of reasons, the planes are still flying because they have to maintain their spots. Jimmy, if you're speaking, you're on mute. Jimmy, are you trying to talk to us? Maybe he's talking to someone else. I see him talking, but we're not hearing anything. So all of those things have changed over time, but if we could have some sort of a daily observation of what does the noise look like? What is the air quality? Ideally, how many operations are there? I recognize that the military has, you all told me that the military has been flying flights. But just to begin to say, in a situation when we have 10% or 25% fewer flights, we are seeing this amount of less noise or this amount of less air pollution. So how do we begin to use that? It's not scientific. It's not, and of course we will get pushback. We always get pushback. But if we don't have some place to start to say, this is the environment, when we talk about quality of life, this is what we want to see. And we're here. So let's talk about the incremental steps that we take to try to sustain here. I don't know. I mean, I'm talking in circles here, so I'll stop. I'd like to hear from others as to whether this all just sounds, like not worthwhile trying to pursue this. It's too much work. I think we can find some of the data. So can I hear from others?
Yeah, I'd like to add one thing. So I think as much as I like the idea of having data to be able to showcase the difference, I think trying to do that now may come across as insensitive, right? Due to the circumstances, right? Why we're having less air traffic. So I'm not necessarily sure it's going to be useful, right? But if anything, I think what is interesting is how other environmental organizations, for example, are appreciating, the fact that now we have better air quality, right? And there's been maybe some progress in sustainability. So if anything, I would say it's a good time to maybe try to find allies, right? That would help, push the agenda forward. But I'm not sure I would necessarily try to push now to try to get some, COVID metrics at the moment.
also comment and kind of echo some points that just talking about or thinking about how our agenda grows to support the larger community. Not, you know, I think the environmental community and as a whole.
Kaya, you're cutting in and out.
Can you not hear me?
You just cut in and out. We hear part of it.
Okay, let me try and stop my video and maybe just use my audio. Hold on. How about now? Can you hear me a little bit better?
Yes.
Maybe, yep. Keep talking.
Maybe a little more? Is that
Just keep talking. We'll let you
know. All right. Okay. Well, like I was saying, I support, is it Javier?
Yes.
Yes, I support what Javier is speaking to, just seeing on how the committee's concerns align and grow with the larger community's concerns about the current situation and how just not only just the environmental community, but the larger community as a whole and the needs that speak to not just understanding the environmental impacts, but also the social and economic and cultural impacts of how people will engage and how people will think of how they prioritize. And, you know, as we start to hear the word more and more, excuse me, about essential and what we classify as essential, I think people will start thinking and behaving as such. So just in thinking about our agenda, thinking about how it grows with, you know, what will be on the priority of folks' minds, because if those who can't fly, you know, will they still have concerns about air quality? And for those who, you know, have, you know, employment challenges, you know, and there's other, maybe in some cases, as we can see, health issues, you know, how they can still have a voice and how they can still have an impact. So just seeing how we can not only support the community, but inform them, but yet be sensitive to their needs and seeing how we're trying to grow together and not just hear what the airport community says, but what the larger community has to say. Just not, like I said, those who are have environmental concerns, but just those who are just residents of the community.
So just to clarify, I mean, our committee is not an independent entity. We are an advisory committee to the Burien City Council. So the work we do is simply making recommendations to the Burien City Council. I mean, we can define a broader agenda for ourselves to do community outreach and collect data. We'd probably want to go to the council and say, you know, is this something we should be doing? Because it could be quite a big endeavor. We don't really have staff that can do that. So just to be clear.
Well, not saying that in that sense, but sometimes the language and the science can sound exclusive, meaning that, you know, some, you know, people with, you know, education, literacy, access may not understand all the understandings of how particular matter impacts breathing and all of the other myriads of things. So I think there's also larger components. So I'm not saying that this committee does not do that work. I'm just saying that the topic of itself for some could be challenging to join the larger conversation just by not understanding the dynamics and the impacts of still not understanding how it supports the environment, but make it kind of, you know, a little bit challenged by some of the language and some of the the depth of the work. So it's no disrespect to the committee. It's just to say, just to have that larger impact and that voice.
Other perspectives, other thoughts on the idea of a letter or Sophia? Yeah.
Well, and I'm wondering what this committee has, and I'm thinking you may already have documents like this, like talking points around what you already know, what data exists about airport emissions and impact to health, because I just quickly looked up the King 5 article on the UW study just done in December of last year. And those are really good points to emphasize about the exposure that we have is really unique. It may have more impact on human health. And, you know, stats like we have the, you know, worst cities for US air pollution. And, you know, when thinking of what Nakaya said, I think what's important is sort of the answer to the question of so what. So we have all this information. So what does it mean? So that it is more understandable for people who haven't had the history and depth that you have. And the other piece too with the Port of Seattle and reading the letters is, you know, there's this economic interest we have to address. So if we're thinking that we aren't a proponent of growth, then what's the economic alternative that could help preserve the positives that we have? Is there more environmentally friendly travel, for example, that the port could consider instead of just growing the usual airport volume that is causing all these issues? So those are the two things I'm thinking of.
Well, ideally, we could figure out ways to travel with less environmental impact. I don't know that that's the port's mandate, but
like the Green New Deal that I've heard some cities had some interest in, and there was a little bit of focus until COVID hit, and then that's been, you know, on the radar. Is there any connection there that you could see exploring?
Possibly. I mean, that encompassed a lot of dimensions. So I guess we'd have to figure out if there are some that were specific to offering some alternatives to the port. I mean, I think the question would be, do we simply express our interest in trying to sustain a quality of life such as we are experiencing now, and wanting a willingness to work with the port to try to figure out how to do that? Or do we go to the port with a list of, well, here are the things you could do that we think would contribute to trying to sustain this quality? I mean, those would be two different approaches that, you know, one would take a lot more work. One would then be potentially more collaborative to say, are you willing to work with us to talk about this? So, I feel a sense of time, I guess, because it's hard to know whether we're talking about the world going back to some previous condition within 2 weeks, or the world going back in 2 months, or the world going back in 2 years. I mean, or the world never going back. I mean, you know, we don't have any sense of the magnitude and the timing of this. I keep thinking, let's acknowledge that this, and I keep saying, when I say this, I sort of look up to the sky and, you know, think this is what we've been asking for. How do we not lose it? That's kind of the gist. And so whether we have ideas as a committee as to what could be done that the port might be interested in, or whether we go to the port and say, would you agree that this is something we want to sustain, and can we work together to figure out how that might happen? And not just us in Burien, I mean, we've provided some leadership that other communities then would say something similar, whether it's Des Moines or Normandy Park or SeaTac or Federal Way, ideally. So anyway, other thoughts from, you know, Sharon or Larry or Jeff or Jimmy or?
Well, I've got one thought. About 2.5 weeks ago, Mayor Mata sent us some information from the port that indicated that the port expected to continue all their development projects and all their construction, and it was business as usual. When, as I took it, and as the committee members know, it seemed to me like they were using the virus situation to justify what they were doing anyway. And I don't see anything wrong with the letter you want to send, but we've already received, unless somebody disagrees with me, a very strong message from the port that they expect to continue. And I, under those circumstances, I just don't know how receptive they will be. But I can't see a reason not to send it. Being cautious about how we say it, of course, which I agree with.
Okay.
Well, Nancy, I'm not an idealist. I'm a pragmatist. And I look at what's reality now, which I don't think is sustainable. I don't see anyone except us who wants it to be sustainable. I mean, the communities do. I don't mean us around the table. I mean, the direction the port has taken is very clear, and their economic recovery plan lays that out, not in the kind of detail that I would have seen, but I think that because they're due to take action on that in June, we'll see how seriously they took the letter that the two coalitions collaborated on. But I think we do what we've been doing. We monitor what their actions are. We try to take strategic action when the time comes, speak up, voice our concerns. But, and I don't think it's going to be a quick recovery. I don't think it's, I think 2 years is more likely than 2 weeks, 2 months, or even 12 months from everything I read. So, you know, there's time to make inroads, but for all the reasons I listed in a different communication in response to JC's approach, it's like an obstacle course. There are just certain realities that we have to acknowledge exist. And the port's mission is not to have clean air and clean water and clean and no noise. That's not their mission. The FAA is there to have the regulatory oversight and to monitor what they do. I think they do a fairly poor job of it, but that's an aside. The point is, writing them a letter and saying, this is what we want you to sustain, seems like a nice thing, but a very futile thing in my mind. Because I think they kind of tossed that in the circular file right away. I don't think it's compelling. It's directly in opposition to their mission, which is economic development, trade and commerce. And that's why we have this difficult path. And I think because we're not a huge engine of lots of people and lots of resources, we have to be very strategic about our opportunities to speak up and to hope that we can influence decision makers, legislators at both the state and federal level along the way to kind of be the guardrails, if you will, of what's going on. But I just think we have to spend our energy. I never considered myself an activist. I never had the goal of being an activist. My goal was to be helpful and to serve and to use the knowledge I've gained over the years about aviation and airports and aircraft noise to the benefit of this group and others and like the coalition. But we don't have the resources to turn this ship around. It's, you know, so I think we have to be careful and strategic and find the opportunities to speak up and have influence where we can. And that, you know, and I think we've made a lot of progress. If you look at the legislation that was passed this year on sound insulation program, the legislation was passed last year for the siting commission, we have had an impact. And I think we just have to be very selective about how we engage with the port. And if it doesn't work to our advantage, then we let them know that. And if it is, we continue on. And I don't see that we have, I mean, I just, because we all have either jobs or other activities in our lives, I'm not willing to spend all my time writing nice letters to the port saying, gee, I really wish you could be quieter. I really wish the air would be cleaner. I don't think they'd listen. I think it's a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. So I just think we have to continue to do what we've done. We've been successful at what we've done, but to be grounded and understand that we just have to be very, deliberative, bring our allies with us, consult with other cities, be proactive. But I don't know what Burien would have to say. Maybe we wait till we see what the new draft, if there is a new draft of the economic recovery plan, and hopefully more details will be laid out. And one reason for including the letter or portions of the letter from Alaska Airlines into the coalition letter was to point out that really the port doesn't listen to a lot of people. They didn't listen to their largest airline and their kind of, flagship airline, if you will. And so they just kind of do their own thing. That's the reality. And I think we just have to do a measured strategy to work around all the obstacles and to still have influence where we can.
Okay, thank you. Larry.
I would like to maybe see an offering by, maybe comes from the committee, offering to invite Alaska Airlines back to a meeting and ask them some, how forthright they might be in giving us answers about how they see the future of SeaTac in their plans. I mean, because we need to let Alaska know we'd like to work with them in conjunction with them. We all know this airport's not going to go away. And if we could, back in the early days when they would come to the city and they were invited to come, they came on a couple circumstances and sat down with us and then they pulled the plug. But maybe it's changed enough that they would see some way to work with us. I don't know. Maybe that's a long shot, but it might be worth a phone call. And Brian or from the city is capable of doing that. So I don't know.
Brian, you have something.
Thank you, Councilmember Tosta and committee. Good evening. I just wanted to respond to Larry's comment is that I don't think they'll come. And the reason is that, part of it is we have not responded back regarding START. That is still hanging out there. I think they are engaged with the port as part of that process and that's the avenue that they engage with the communities. Now that I would say that for the airport committee and for the cities, maybe it's different for the Quiet Skies Coalition, but I know that there's been discussion by the airport committee about reaching out to partner cities and to get a decision about whether Burien is going to participate in START or not. But I really believe that a decision needs to be made in that regard. And I think we're going to have limited participation from airlines until we get a decision in that manner.
Okay, thanks. I didn't put START on this agenda because we decided it wasn't a topic that we could have a joint meeting with the other cities around because it doesn't fall under the necessary and essential. And it's still hanging out there. Yes, at some point we have to talk. Jimmy, any thoughts on this, sort of our steps here? And I just want to say, Sharon, I agree with you. We need to be strategic and as effective as we can. And the question is, how do we do that? And I also think we need to recognize the opportunity. How much has changed and how the impact has affected everyone. And does that provide a space that we've never had before to have a different kind of conversation? So that was the rationale for proposing something. But I mean, let me hear from Jimmy.
Well, I'm still in the mindset that negotiations are still not over regarding START. I don't feel like it's a different situation we're dealing with. Today, I did have one of the commissioners give me a call just to check in on how Burien is doing. Said that what I responded back is that I've been enjoying the ability to enjoy my home, not have to deal with so many planes going over my home. I'm sure that the residents of Burien are pretty happy. Fortunately, it is devastating to our economy of what we're having to confront with this COVID-19 pandemic. But at the same time, I really like what Sharon is saying is that, the port is the port. They are the big brother. We're going to always have to have money in the coffers to be able to file lawsuits or to be able to voice our concerns or opinions. I'm of the mindset that we should be having communications with the commissioners. I think that I'm one that the commissioners know where I stand regarding the airport. They know that I'm wanting to work with them where I can. But the fact of the matter is that we have some issues in Burien that look eye to eye, and that is the noise of the airport. So I do believe that letters are harmful, but the reality is we have no jurisdiction over the port commissioner. We have no jurisdiction over that governmental agency. The leverage we have is the cities. So I'm hoping that the cities stick together. I'm as far as wanting to see where the city manager, city manager and the people that sat down and negotiated with the port. We've heard from the city, but we haven't heard from the rest of the cities that were part of this negotiation. I think that we continue to, push the port. We want federal oversight for, the SAM. I really like Mrs. Johnson, who's on board, really figuring out. I think what's happened here is that the port is doing what they should be doing, exactly what the city does. A component of community outreach. I got to say that as the lady that has just been brought on economic development and it comes to engagement and figuring out where marginalized communities have the ability to have a voice at the port, they're actually doing some work there. I know they're working with the Centro de la Raza, I know they're working with Consejo, and so we're not there, right? And so I have concerns with that. I like that the fact that Mrs. Johnson has been fighting equality and making sure that she's pushing back on social justice and more than anything, environmental justice. And the fact of the matter is that we're still gonna continue to have noise mitigation problems. We're still gonna be a community that has 3 poverty census tracts. We still are gonna have a community that's 42% minority, 25% Hispanic, and yet we still have not been able to build a voice in those communities with the African-American community, Asian community, Hispanic community. We're weak at that, right? And figuring out how do we have those people at the table too. Now, I know that I've been talking to the Somali community and some of the minority communities about figuring out, well, why is it that we don't have a world market in King County or one of the most diverse places in the country now? The fact of the matter, though, is that we still don't have rules of engagement to have a real working relationship with the port. And I think that's been the goal. I remember when I first came on, I heard how the members of STAR were being treated. That was just going to be unacceptable. And that's the reason that we decided to leave. So to me, it's business that hasn't been handled. How do we continue to say we will establish a relationship here, but we're going to work here, or we're going to work here? It's almost like we're working in different silos. But those are my 2 cents on that. Thank you.
So just to clarify, Jimmy, the your comment earlier in the your comments about working with the port commissioners. When I started this, and I don't know if you were on yet, about sort of drafting a letter, my thought had been that it was electeds to electeds. We as a committee would recommend to the Burien City Council that there be an invitation, an opening to say to the port commissioners that we have a conversation. START is not the Port Commissioners. It's not electeds to electeds. And I wanted us to try to elevate it and say, can we acknowledge, and again, with the hope that there would be other cities that would step up in this regard and say, we have an opportunity here. We're all suffering. We know that. We know our community suffering in many, many ways. In one positive way, our communities are doing better because the air is cleaner and it's quieter. I mean, and that's a really positive thing that has happened, that has come out of, you know, all of this negative stuff. So that had been the intent, that we changed the dialogue of where we were having that communication and did it elected to elected. You know, because we haven't tried to engage the Port Commissioners. We all talk to them, and Jimmy, you and I and others talk to them one-on-one, but not as a city council to the Port Commission. So that was what I had thought about, just to say, do we have an opportunity for a different kind of conversation here? So, but I do think what the issues you've all raised, and there's a wide range of them. I mean, based on sort of the topics you brought up and the issues, we could go in probably 10 different directions. So I'm still of the mind that we try an elected to elected dialogue that's a little different than what we've tried before. But if that's not, if you all are sort of, there's too many obstacles, or that's not the conversation that has to be had, it's a different table, we don't have the data. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of different perspectives from you all.
Can I mention something?
I'm sorry.
Hang on, Ernest. Debbie?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think it'd be a great idea if we invited some port commissioners to one of our meetings so that we could have a discussion and have an agenda and talk to them about some of these things that have been brought up. The social justice, environmental justice, the air and noise pollution reduction we've experienced. I think that there are a few port commissioners that might be interested in coming to a meeting, maybe Sam Cho and Fred, and maybe Ryan Calkins or Steinberg. They're interested in environmental issues, and it would be a good idea to invite them. And while we're at it, we should invite the FAA ombudsman to a meeting. And I've heard discussion about that.
Yeah, it's Debbie, that's later on the agenda. I put that on the agenda. We had it last
time.
I think we should do that. But I want to say, so this is a committee that's advisory to the city council. And, do the commissioners come and talk to the council? That's the challenge here, is sort of, you know, at what level are we having this conversation?
We have electeds here in the committee that could relate back to the council, the discussion that we had, because we're just seeking out information. We're just having a conversation. And then from that, we would make a recommendation to the council or let them know what the discussion covered. But it's a little more informal, I think, to invite people to our committee, because it may be something that's possible. I don't know, Dave Kaplan, is it possible to invite port commissioners to our meeting?
Let's not go that route right now. I might, though, given, I mean, I've made this emphasis here. We have two other electeds from two other cities on the call. Maybe we can get some insight there as to whether this idea of electeds to electeds is something their city might consider, because we all know we want to try to work in concert. The stronger we are together, the more we are together, so potentially the stronger we are. So
I'd like
Ernest,
to, yeah, if I may, I look at this situation as the port's about making money. and it's always going to be about making money. And when I look at it, this presents us with a unique...
Did we lose you, Ernest?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. When I look at this situation, this is a unique opportunity for a win-win, I think, because there's sort of a social shock that's going on with this whole process here. And when, you know, Councilmember Tulsa is talking about thinking outside the box and that sort of thing, and Sharon's talking about, I'm tired of writing letters, those things ring so very true with me. And I look at it, they're thinking, the port's actions have said they're doubling down on their construction. They're just waiting for things to turn around. And I don't think it will be that long before you start to see more and more air traffic. And it's going to be fundamentally based upon the discovery or the development or the implementation of a vaccine. That could be 6 months if it's a small miracle. It could be a year or even longer. But once they have a vaccine, people are going to start to feel that they can travel. And you're going to be back to the same place you were before. And that's going to mean that the airport is not listening to us at that time. And when I think about the airport, I want to present them, I want to change the dialogue with them. I want to present them with an opportunity to start to recover and make money by making the right choices. The federal government has said they're going to, has indicated at least, that they're going to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. Well, if you're talking about infrastructure development, of course, you guys all know me, and I'm always talking about Hyperloop. Larry and I talk about this quite a bit. There's every reason to encourage the port to start to think, you can be building your airport, you can be building your hyperport at the same time in the same spot. You can start encouraging that kind of strategy because other countries already are. And it is just their way to have a win-win strategy. And we all know, if you look at Hyperloop in general, that there's your answer to your pollution, there's an answer to your noise. And I've been talking with a little bit with the, I think he's the vice mayor down in Auburn. And he's a guy that's a very important person in the labor movement. And I'm encouraging him to get the labor movement involved with this because it would provide an immense amount of jobs if you start to do that. And the money would be coming from the federal government with their $1 trillion instead of putting into
Ernest,
debts.
I'm gonna stop you here because I know
you
go on for half an hour talking about
sure. Okay, so thank you.
But I do think, you know, what you've just brought up is a bit of the outside the box. Now, if you are going to continue to build at SeaTac, and if we want to think about alternative ways to move people, then maybe Hyperloop is part of that. I mean, I think, you know, that's within the realm of the dialogue to say, you know, what kind of jobs, what kind of construction, how mm-hmm. is it more sustainable? How is it greener? And if we don't ask and start to bring those things up, then we won't get it.
So, right.
JC, do you have anything you want to add to this conversation as an elected official from Des Moines?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good, because I can't see me and whatever. One is always careful to mention that I do not represent my city. I just represent me.
Got it. You are an elected official, but you are representing anybody other than yourself.
Sure thing. But I would say that, I look at this quite differently. I don't care about the port at all, okay? I mean, they're big boys and girls, and they have big brains, and they will take care of themselves. So, you know, I mean, I just think of it like a negotiation. They know what they're doing, and they definitely are going to build even more aggressively if I look at other airports and what their planners are talking about.
You're going to be in the picture there.
As to our situation, I think that I don't care about solving their problems. I think that you guys, I'm probably yelling, you guys should figure out what you want, and there isn't enough data. I would ask Mayor Mata and your city council, let's say hypothetically, you could, there was a hit, an economic hit to going to staying at this level of flights. Let's say it was 5%. Are you willing to vote for a 5% reduction in your city's economic output in exchange for the experience we're having now? Is 5% a good deal for you? That's the question.
That's an interesting way to pose it, JC. I mean, it's, you know, and maybe
that. What are you willing? And that's what CTAC Noise.info is working on now.
Right. Where do we consider environmental benefits? I want to, Larry, I muted you. It looks like you're doing some Zoom troubleshooting. Are you having a problem trying to deal with Zoom? Now I can't hear you, Larry, if you're talking. Anyway,
why don't you unmute him and then we can.
I tried unmuting him.
And it didn't work.
He needs to unmute himself, I think.
Oh.
I think he's gone. I think we just lost him. Oh, there he is. Now he's back. So I feel like maybe what we need to do, we're not, I'm not hearing consensus. I'm not hearing any sort of, I feel like however many airport committee members we have that many different opinions here as to how we might move forward. I guess I'm going to suggest that Lori's been taking notes, that we capture those notes, sort of see if there's some, maybe two or three or four piles of ideas that would be one direction or another. And then at our next meeting, sort of weigh those and say, this is the most strategic action we can take at this point in time and who needs to do it. Or there isn't an action, we really are just always gonna be in a respond mode. We have to wait to see what the port does and then we'll react to it. Or we are going to invite commissioners, we're going to invite others to our meeting, or so I'm gonna suggest that in the interest of hitting the other two topics on our agenda, that we take the summary that comes out of this and then have some reaction and discussion. I'll try to do some work on it. And we have some reaction.
If you're at all interested in having an impact on the economic recovery plan, the clock is ticking. They're going to adopt it in June. I don't know the date, but, that would be the logical time to take the next strategic action. And that's the only thing I see on the horizon right now, except to say, wow, we really like the nice clean air and the quiet skies. So, I mean, and it's tangible, it's coming up, and it gives us an opportunity to have a voice in what is done.
But if they're adopting it, so you would suggest an action. And again, we are advisory to our council. So our council, we would have to ask our council to do something, which perhaps Sharon, you're saying, comment on the economic development. Is that, but our council would need us to say what our comments are, similar to what your Quiet Skies did.
Right. I mean, what I could imagine is just two or three points, not pages of a letter, but just two or three points to say that, you know, all people involved in this COVID-19, whether you're retired like I am or you're a family who's feeling the circumstances, lost a job, or, you know, all the economic suffering that's going on, they have to tighten their belts. They have to do things different. maybe just temporarily, just maybe for a short term. But I didn't read anything in the economic recovery plan that suggested, even suggested, that they might do something different on SAMP. In fact, the emphasis was that we're just going to keep building. We're going to build, and we're going to lead this region and this county and this state out of economic doom. And so they're highly motivated to just continue to do what they were always going to do. So if you're looking for an impact, it seems to me the only strategic way is for us to recommend to the city that they communicate that in the form of a letter or however they want to do it, in person, that says, you know, we don't want business as usual. We think that business as usual isn't necessarily a good idea. We didn't think it was a good idea even when it was developed, when the SAMP was developed. And to go headlong like lemmings to the sea just seems to me foolish, given we always think the federal government's going to bail them out in infrastructure or some other way, but I don't know. They're spending a lot of trillions of dollars, and I'm not confident that they're going to come up with a lot more money for airports. But maybe so. They already got 190 million or 193 million or whatever. But the point is, they are like all of us. We're at a crossroads. We have to look at our budgets differently. We have to look at revenue streams differently. And we have to change and modify our actions and response. But that's what was missing out of the economic recovery plan. There was more emphasis put on the words of equity and inclusiveness and collaboration and things like that than it was, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to do things differently. We might stage them, may take longer. We may not do some things that we said we were going to do, but that was totally absent. And I think that's where the city and other cities could have an opportunity to have an impact, to say, you know, we just want you to take a good look at this because we don't think you can build your way out of this correct mess. So,
given we don't have another, I'm guessing whenever the port is going to adopt that is probably before our next airport committee meeting or very close thereafter, and not between an airport committee and our council meeting. I wonder if we could take a stab, and I'll take a stab at a letter that says, in essence, what you just said, that, you know, the opportunity, there's an opportunity here, and we are not seeing it reflected in what you have put forth as your economic recovery strategy. We are concerned because you're not considering this, this, and this. Some of the points that you've raised, I think some of the points that Anne had raised, and circulate a draft to you all in time for us to potentially move it forward. And I guess I'll have to find out whether this falls under the definition of necessary and routine, because our next council meeting is June 4th. The governor's edict on open public meetings and the topics you can cover in those meetings expires on June 1st if he does not extend it. And so if that expires, then we can have various topics on our June 4th meeting. If that doesn't expire, then we're limited to necessary and routine. Whether this falls under the umbrella of necessary and routine is something that powers bigger than me determine. But we could have a letter ready to go that would be input to the port.
I like that idea. And I think in that letter, you can say that we all are adjusting to a new normal. We'd like the port to adjust to a new normal, which would be less right. This, less that. So I think it gives you the opportunity to say what you want to say, but it doesn't neglect the obvious, which is that They're just going to continue to spend money like there's no end in sight, and they're going to build.
Right. And it offers an invitation for a dialogue with the port commissioners. So, I mean, we could accomplish a couple of those things in that letter, commenting on the economic development strategy and an interest in the conversation about what the new normal could be. So are people okay with a raise of hands or a nod of heads that we do that? It'll get circulated to you all because you all need to weigh in. And then we'll try to put a draft before council. Am I seeing any? I think I'm seeing everybody waving at me. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Nicole. All right, I'm going to move on the agenda. The second topic I put on the agenda, which was more for information and I guess anyone who might want to comment on the Stantec report. It's past the comment date. I did not put in comments.
I think Debbie did.
Too many things happening at one time, but maybe Debbie, you want to give us some insight on, you know, topics you think they missed, they hit, they, you know, what, any of that sort of scoping of good, bad, and the ugly.
Well, the one thing that I really enjoyed about the previous study was that they had kind of a cost benefit analysis that the airport was going to lose $10 billion a year on extra fuel for all the delay and taxiing and congestion that would occur if they did not build a third runway. It's weather related delay costs where we're going to be in the billions. And of course, building the third runway was going to make a lot of money for the region because of efficiency improvements and so forth. But costs and losses to the cities were calculated to be $2.95 billion, mainly from losing a tax base and having to find a new land use that would be beneficial for cities with the limited amount of use in runway clear zones and et cetera. So they don't have that in this study. So we don't really know what is the externalized costs of the Port of Seattle for doing business. That was the thing that made me the most sad and upset. But they did do some analysis of noise impact, air quality impact, climate change impact, social impacts. As far as the cost to our societies, of course, it's huge because these externalized costs of healthcare, job loss, sleep loss, property value loss, diminution of and loss of use of property, the escalating costs of the social detriments that are typical of an airport community. None of this is calculated. So I don't know what the utility is of the study except to say we did a search of available information and compiled a bunch of statements that may or may not be beneficial for people to know.
All right. Well, that's helpful. Brian, I don't know if you're still there. Is there a next step to this? I mean, do you know what's going to happen with this report?
Well, again, I think the basis of the report was to try and find where we are today, you know, with the impacts, you know, for the airport. And I do believe that this study could be a springboard for other legislation and other studies that could, you know, very much help the Puget Sound area. So, and some of those, as Representative Orwell has been a part of, in terms of making recommendations, you know, based on the data that's coming from this study that could be helpful for us moving forward.
All right, so do you know what the timing is in terms of them incorporating comments? Are they, you know, going to incorporate and produce a final document or make changes?
I don't have dates in that regard. The 15th was, May 15th was the period for public comment. I know that there's some concern about the timing of how this gets presented to the legislature. That is a key piece of what was desired with this study in terms of the Department of Commerce. But I'm looking forward to getting a briefing from Commerce as to where they are with this study. And given this COVID pandemic that we've had as of late, communication has been fairly limited.
Yeah. Any other comments, suggestions, actions anyone can think of on the Stantec activity? All right. Next agenda item. So I mentioned this earlier. I put this on our last agenda, but it occurred to me, argued and pushed to have supported the idea that FAA would have community ombuds people. That was part of federal legislation. It happened. We have never met Justin. He's been at that START meeting, is my understanding, at some point. I don't know if he attends them regularly, but it occurred to me that since he is, in theory, our community spokesperson for the FAA, that we might invite him to our meeting. So I wanted to throw that out there and say, what do you all think about that idea?
It's a good idea.
Good idea.
In favor.
I agree. I'm in favor spades. Of that.
Favor in spades. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll figure out how to do that. We'll look at our, it may be a Zoom meeting. You know, this is, how long are we going to be doing this? In fact, it may be easier for him to attend a Zoom meeting, right? I was telling Brian today, I think the public is finding it easier to attend our meetings when they're not in person, because you know, they can
sit there and I like it better.
Take care of their kids, like whatever better. They have to do, and not be in another place. Okay. Public comment. So we do have 5 members of the public. If any of them would like to comment, can you raise your hand? We're open to any input on anything we've talked about or anything that you all are doing that you think our airport committee should be aware of. So Anne, I'm gonna unmute you here if I can.
I unmuted myself too. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Thank you. And thanks for allowing me to comment as an outsider to Burien. Although I do go to Grand Central very faithfully. I 2 points.
And just for our notes, yeah. I might say where you're from.
Oh, I'm from Des Moines. Okay, down great. Redondo, so I don't even know the main center. Like, I'm almost Federal Way. I just wanted to say a couple of things. And one is that the letter and the effort that you put forth to send a letter to the to our local FAA administrator on doing an environmental impact statement versus an environmental analysis for the SAMP was definitely critical. I saw that Dave Up the Grove, our King County representative, also sent one. And 350 Seattle is also working on one based on your fine input. And I think this is, and I noticed also that Alaska Airlines also has asked for this. In so many ways, this is really important because the EA is done by the port as a consultant, and the EIS is done by the FAA, whether we think that they will do a fair job or not, that they are the federal agency and they are different than the port doing their own analysis. So thank you for doing that. And that is still going to be critical going forward to see how we can get that done. I also just was in response to Sharon, a leverage point on the port's idea of their being environmental is that they actually do think they are. They have this environmental and sustainability committee who is working towards the on the ground zero emissions from their operations. And while we know that's just a
very tiny percentage. They do feel very proud of that as their leverage point. And you probably have seen that on their PR material. So calling themselves Salmon Safe, because they are Salmon Safe certified for their on the ground operations. Well, they're not quite there yet, but they're working on that. So I don't know if that's a useful leverage point, but it definitely is. It is something to consider. And I think the carbon emissions are going to become more and more of an issue. And certainly 350 Seattle is going to continue to push along those lines, both with the city of Seattle and King County, to see if they can step up and take some ownership on the fact that in their territory, they have carbon emissions that are out of the realm of what they can continue to consider themselves carbon neutral, or even being able to get to carbon neutral in the near future. So that's all I have to say. Thank you, Nancy, for allowing me to speak.
Thanks, Anne. Actually, Anne, you brought up the letters of request to the FAA to do an EIS on the SAMP. And I wanted, sorry, I should have brought this up earlier to the airport committee. As you all know, we made a recommendation to our city council. If folks could put their phones on mute if you're not speaking, I think it would take away some of the echo. We made a recommendation to the Burien City Council that we would, and based on some of the meetings that I had back in DC with our representatives who indicated a willingness to support the requests that we were making based on the incremental cumulative activities that we believed resulted in the need for an EIS from a cumulative effects perspective. Some of our representatives in DC said they would be willing to craft such a letter to the head of FAA, not the Western region, but FAA headquarters. So we drafted a letter, you may recall this, and we sent it to the Burien City Council. Burien City Council agreed. We sent that draft to the staff, our representative staff in DC. We actually had a discussion today with our lobbyist in DC, because they came back with some questions, but I think we've clarified the intent and the desire to have that letter move forward. We will have a call with those staffers, not with Jayapal's staff, most likely Adam Smith's staff. It's our whole delegation next week have a call that will emphasize why we think this letter is really important, that it continues to tell the story of the incremental growth that's been analyzed incrementally that has resulted in the profound impacts that we've been experiencing. So just FYI, there's another step here to this request for an EIS. Sorry, that was a really long explanation, but
thank you. I very much appreciate that.
Wanted to follow
up. I would like to add that it is the FAA's intention to write an environmental analysis. So that is a checklist process that they use with 16 environmental categories. According to the Alaska letter we got on an information request from the port, the Port of Seattle is having their consultant do FAA's work on that EA. The Port of Seattle has committed to a full environmental impact statement, but that will not be subject to the more stringent requirements of NEPA that the FAA is required to comply with. And NEPA is where I think we have our best foothold to challenge what has happened incrementally and cumulatively since the Ninth Circuit Court has affirmed our position on that.
Right.
So just
that's what we're going for is NEPA.
Right. So Nancy, just for your information and Mayor Mata and Councilmember Aragon, as you speak to this delegation, make sure that they understand that the FAA plans to do the most cursory overview of their incremental build that they can get away with, and defer the more detailed work to the Port of Seattle, which is unacceptable, because the court has put it on FAA to do the work.
Got it. Yep. Thanks, Deb. Thanks for the reminder. Any other public comment? I don't, Anne, you still have your hand up, but anybody else want to make a comment? Sheila.
Yeah, thank you. So this is Sheila Brush, and I appreciate listening, being a listener for once, because I could really hyper-focus on what you're all saying, and I agree with Sharon's direction of what is the next step, but I also agree with Nancy and wanting to have a sit-down with the port commissioners, elected to elected. And the problem I see is what we've always heard is that we have the Highline Forum, that's where the elected speak. We have START, that's where the community members speak. And if you engage the community, such as your committee, then they'll bring in Marco, Arlen, Claire, and you'll get very little vocal conversation with the actual commissioners because they'll fall back on their team because you have your team. So I think until the port commissioners and elected officials are willing to sit down and have real honest conversations, which was what I wanted in START, and I said repeatedly, especially in the working groups, we are going to have uncomfortable discussions, but in order to get comfortable again, we have to get through the bad. We have to understand this, and we have to walk away and agree to disagree or start agreeing on things of how we can coexist. And I think that's going to be your biggest obstacle. And then the last thing I wanted to bring up real quick is that, as you know, I worked with Congressman. Oh, I wanted to mention real quick on the ombudsman. I would actually engage Congressman Smith's office on this because they have changed it. They're saying that they'll only show up at START. But I do know that Congressman Smith's office is directly engaged with the ombudsman. So I would reach out to them and include them to have the ombudsman come to your meeting via Zoom and include Congressman Smith's office as well. I think you might have more leverage there because the adjustant has been very clear that he won't meet with people outside of START and he will not meet with citizens. He's only obligated to be at START. Anyway, so I think they could change that. But I wanted to give the committee a quick update because this is something I think you'll want to track. I know you, some of you remember that I was working with Congressman Smith's office on a letter to the GAO. As you know, Congressman Adam Schiff had asked the GAO to look at Metroplexes, which left us off. And I wanted the single sites also to be on this study, and especially with the PBN implementation, community noise concerns. So CTAC has been selected, and which is very, very good. And they, the end of May, and I don't know if you're even aware of this, if this has been shared with the with Brian, but the end of May, beginning of June, there'll be more of a detailed description of their scope, methodology, and process with completing our work audit. So I think this is a very good thing to follow and be involved because they are looking at community noise concerns. They are looking at the PBM implementation status where they were gonna select various stages of implementation to identify changes. You've had definite changes. You know, they're going to look at airport levels and trends. They're going to look at the geographic diversity. So there's a lot of things that fall right in step with what you're already working on, what you have been working on, and what your concerns are. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Great. Thank you, Sheila. I'll follow up with you for more details on that that we can then share with the committee. So I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other members of the public? Okay, any committee members have any final thoughts or observations? We might.
Well, I will just throw one thing out there. It's kind of a small detail, but it's an interesting detail. I've been told that of the 30 Q400s that Alaska has, 10 of them have been put into mothballs and probably won't come out. The 20 remaining aircraft are looking to convert them to freighters and they can put them into a freight business and out of passenger service. Now, the timeline on that is not not for sure known, but they had contacted Bombardier in Canada about the conversion, but have chosen another contractor to complete the work. What that entails and how long it will take, I'm not certain. But as I've always said, turboprops today, jets tomorrow. So those corridors are there. And my biggest fear is always that those corridors will become jet traffic, even if the Q400s are going into a freighter operation, which would may or may not change the 250 degree turn.
Right.
But I would also just like to say that if we have the opportunity through a Zoom call to get the Ombudsman to attend one of our meetings, I think the most responsible thing would be allow Walt Bala to be our expert to prepare a list of questions that he could present to us if we don't want Walt to be talking, but to be presenting a list of questions that they could, we could have some very thoughtful questions for the FAA in that realm if it ever took place.
So Larry, I'd encourage you and other Quiet Skies folks to think about that and bring them to our committee. Walt would be a member of the public. I mean, he'd be welcome to participate on the call, but he's not a committee member. So if there are questions that he can tee up for us that he thinks are important to ask, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, we could, if we could be fortunate enough to just have an entire hour and a half with him to, for him to, I mean, that was always my hope in being a member of START, that we would have that kind of participation, but as I quickly found out, that wasn't going to work that way.
Well, and I had always thought, I used to work for the federal government, so I didn't think this, but when the ombudsperson, proposals were put into the FAA reauthorization, I thought, it'd be nice if they actually worked for the community and, spoke to the community, but I won't say that I anticipated it. So it's good to hear from Sheila that working through Adam Smith's office might help us get access to him.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent suggestion.
Larry, I had a quick question for you. It strikes me that there's been more flights. Have you noticed? I mean, for a while they stopped, and then it just seemed like there are days when there are a significant number of 250 turns. Have you?
Well, it has to do strictly with the north flow. And anytime you hear the Q400s coming westbound, and it's like I tried to explain to people the other day, was that automatic turn is still in place. And I don't care if there's an aircraft leaving SeaTac once every 30 minutes. They don't intend to take them straight out. They have that automatic turn and they will utilize it if there's only one airplane an hour. So using it as a diversion to get them out of the way of more traffic is, they've got their procedure in place. And they won't give it up under any circumstances unless the courts make them to.
But I thought the court did make them take the automatic turn out.
Well, that was our understanding, Nancy, and that was the very pointed question that I had with Matt Adams when we asked him when the decision was handed down. And the 45 days came and expired, and I asked Matt, does this mean that they will have to withdraw the automatic turn? And he was very clear with me, and he said, yes. But on the 46th day, they answered the court with that falsified document that we know. And the update, which is a non-recognized federal document, they still are hiding under that decision. So the court has told them that they had to incorporate it into the bigger SAMP decision, and they have just circumvented that, and they don't intend to give it up. So that is why the 250 turn, that's why the 250 turn is still in place, and unless we, down the road, it's going to be in place.
So they're defying a court order and they're using an unapproved procedure.
And that's just the fact.
Yeah, they're just defying a court order, and there's no watchdog to fine them $25,000 a day for doing so. So I guess they knew at the beginning that they could keep doing what they wanted to, regardless of
the outcome, right?
Right. Unfortunately.
Well, that's really depressing.
Well, that's just the facts, and that's why the turn is still there, and that's why I told all the members in our community that contact me about that. But that's how the case is right now, and unless we challenge it in the SAMP, it's going to be there. There's no getting around it.
All right. Well, thank you for that depressing news.
Could I offer a couple of agenda items for future meetings?
Sure.
That we can talk about later, not tonight, but I understand King County Public Health has got some activities going, and maybe we'd like to invite them to one of our meetings in the future. And we've talked in the past about EPA also. So those are kind of hanging out there. So if they could just be listed as potential meetings in the future, that'd be great.
Okay. And then at some point, you know, we probably do need to revisit the START.
I want to let everybody know that King County Department of Public Health is giving a presentation by Zoom on Thursday at 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. I have the link for the Zoom meeting. It is mainly health department officials and a lot of UW people, representatives, Tina Orwell, Linda Braver, they're going to be presenting their findings on doing looking at the existing information on health impacts in the communities around the airport.
Great. Thank you, Debbie. You sent that out, but there was no date or time on it. So it is this Thursday.
Yeah, there was an attachment on that didn't go with it. And Sheila, did you get it the second time I sent it to you?
Yes, I did get it with the attachment. Thank you.
Okay, I'll resend it to the committee.
Yeah, send it to the committee. That would be great. Thanks, Deb.
All right.
Anything else for the good of the order? We are over time.
It's really good to see you people on Zoom. It's really efficient.
Thanks, Ernest. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, any objections? All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Stay healthy.
Yep.
We're doing. Okay. Bye.